Reagan? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Yay! I'm always so excited when it works. Like,
Oh,
oh my goodness. How has your week been?
interesting.
Oh my gosh. Oh, it's only Tuesday.
How about you?
It's only Tuesday. And
Girl,
so
listen.
for me, there all this, Mark Hyla, who will be a senior at JBS, they just released their Healthy Start program. And so it was more like manuscript that I didn't understand. Like it
Of
was
course,
so
of
many
course.
pages, and I said at the end of it, I'm like, I still don't know what are they doing.
I do.
So I posted on Facebook, like, will somebody be willing to parent me and explain this to me?
I
Like,
think I lost you again.
can you hear me?
Okay, now I can.
Okay, maybe let me see if, did I have my headset? I'm trying to think if I had my headset on last time. I think I did. And so I was like, I just don't understand. Is there any other JVS parent out there that wants to explain this to me?
In layman's terms.
Yeah, and everyone was like the same. They're like, I think they're saying, they're like taking individual parts. Like, I think here they're saying, and I'm like, oh my gosh.
Oh, look, so y'all don't get it either. Okay,
No,
thank you.
yes. And then then the principal released like a statement that basically was like, this is what we're saying. I was
Oh
like, oh, they
my
must have got so many
gosh.
emails. Because it was just like 10 pages of like scenarios where I'm like, well, what scenario are we
Look, help me understand how this affects my child directly, is what I
Right.
want to know. Okay.
Is she going or not?
Look, are we online or are we not
Right.
online? Okay. How is this going to apply
That's
to what
all
they
I
need
need
to
to
do
know.
each day? Okay. That's what I want to know.
And so then Oberlin had their board meeting tonight, and they did, a Zoom, but then they had it on YouTube. And I don't know why I got the idea that they were going to be announcing the decision, but that wasn't on the agenda. They discussed it. And so right now they're like, we're either going to do, a couple days a week based on the letter of the alphabet, and then the rest remote, or we're going to go all remote. So I'm
Well,
like,
the
well,
thing that I don't understand about that, and I'm sorry, pardon the interruption, but the thing that I don't understand about that, because my neighbor is a teacher and we've talked about this like a dozen times, is when people have multiple children in school, how does that alphabet business or how does that work for? So, do all the children for your household go to school on the same day?
that's what they're saying for us. But Oberlin is so much smaller than Elyria. But that's basically, even they said,
But
even if
I'm
you
in North
have,
Ridgeville.
oh yeah, you're in North Ridgeville, but we're still smaller than North Ridgeville. And they said, yeah, that like they take into consideration how many people are in your family. They also take into consideration if you're like, you have to ride to school with somebody else that may not be like an actual, in your household, but that's who brings you to school because your parent works or whatever. And they said, so they take all of that into consideration. So it was fascinating to hear them talk about, but at this point, it's still like, we don't even know what day we're starting school because they decided that they wanted to do it after Labor Day, instead of the 31st.
How do you feel overall? How do you feel about sending your children back?
Well, Sincere Hazar, who's a 17-year-old, he's a senior also. He said he was just going to go remote. Like, I feel like he would have probably chose remote as a freshman, but without a pandemic.
Before all of this.
Right. I was going to
Listen,
say,
I'm with Sincere.
it was like a no-brainer. He said it so fast. I was like, okay. Which is,
That's my boy.
I think it's good for him too, because he'll have to manage a schedule, and that'll help him kind of prepare a little bit better for college, I feel like. Isaac
But
did
he
not
was
do
like,
well. Yeah, hands down. There wasn't even a discussion. He was like completely online. That was like his text back to me, like the end, period. I don't care that there's a if there's a pandemic or not. I'm still going online.
I know that's right. I'm with him. Look, I'm with him.
So Isaac really struggled with the online. Okay. But also there, you know, there's a lack of structure that this, okay. you know, during this kind of, they didn't know what they were doing. Nobody knew what they were doing. Sure. I clearly didn't know what I was doing. And so we just were like, maybe it'd be better if you had 2 days of instruction, you know what I mean? And then the 3 days of online. But now that what they're saying, and that's because in the beginning they said that online was going to be Apex, which is like an online platform. So it wasn't actually you know, it's like self-taught. And so I'm like, you definitely can't do that. But now they're saying that they're actually, it's going to be like classroom instruction where they're logging into their actual classroom and the teacher, so they can see their teacher and it's live. Okay. And that's different. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because, that is very, yeah, it's very different. Cause then they still have some sort of social interaction.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And they actually get to see a teacher teach from the board, ask questions, mm-hmm. you know? And so it, that really changed it for me because mm-hmm. I'm in a position where my children don't have to go. And I would rather save those slots if they're going to be allowing people to go for people who don't have that option. Like that's really not a real option for them. And their child really does need to go for whatever reason, you know, maybe they have an IEP or a 504, maybe, you know, I just don't want to take a space just because, you know, and so if we can do it in a way that he will be able to succeed and excel, and they'll work with us. Like if we make that decision and it's still like thumbs down, they'll
midstream, you need to make a decision to switch up.
They would work with us. But, you know, I just feel like in a way to keep everybody safe, if we can minimize the amount of people that have to be there, then that's good for everybody around. So, yeah. And that's, and so then Markyla at JVS, she has labs. And so she mm-hmm. kind of has to go, you know what I mean?
Sure.
It's not like, but I like the way they're doing it. They're doing, and JBS, you know, their labs are already small. They're already mm-hmm. like super close knit. And so they're actually going, they're alternating like 3 days, you know, 1 week, 2 days, the next week, 3 days. And they're doing sophomores and seniors, freshmen and juniors, because the freshmen and the sophomores, they're not in their actual labs yet. They're still kind of like in an exploratory program.
Okay.
And so, and they're only going half a day.
Okay.
And so, you know, we'll see how everything goes. I mean, that's what they, you know, that's basically the step before if they have to go completely online, if things shut down.
Sure.
But I think that what all the teachers seem to be doing is putting things in place now, putting practices in place now, that if they have to go completely online, it won't be such a shock.
Sure. Well, I have to tell you that, so Angel is 26 now.
I can't believe she's
26. Girl, I know, right? It blows my mind some days. But I'm going to tell you, so I got sick her freshman year. Maybe I got sick her sophomore year. So I was diagnosed, I want to say maybe it must have been her sophomore year. Needless to say, it was a challenging year. So maybe we made it through her freshman year. So we made it through her freshman year, because her freshman year, she had a challenging freshman year, but she had made homecoming court but she was still having some challenges. So, you know, freshman year, there's boys, there's all sorts of things. And so there were some challenging things going on her freshman year. And so sophomore year, it was too much to do chemo and be up at the high school. And I can remember one time between a chemo treatment, me trying to haul my way up them stairs to a principal's office. And I was like, I'm not going to do this. And I took her out and homeschooled her. And we homeschooled her we homeschooled her sophomore year, junior year. She went back her senior year with all honors and did exceptionally well. It was tough. There was some days where she was just like, you know what? I mean, her. So I think that it was more the lack of social interaction. I mean, she had her friends and she was still able to keep, you know, up with her friends and do stuff, but it wasn't during school stuff, and it wasn't school stuff, and it wasn't the day to day, you know, like she didn't know what was happening in school, but she was able to see them outside of school. So it was challenging, but she did it. And so I think that it's so interesting anymore that there is the, you know, now everything is digital and it's such a commonplace anymore that this is our world. This is our, I mean, I want to say that Zoom meetings and the number of Zoom meetings I'm in a week, I'm just like, you know what? Look, I'm good on this.
So much like the biggest issue, one of the biggest issues, like connections, like is your Wi-Fi. My Wi-Fi boosts me off at least 4 times a day, and it's random. Like I could be in a meeting and just boop.
Well, I think what's something is that I can remember at the beginning of the year, one of my NAACP unit, we were talking about some different alternatives to one of our events that we had to cancel. And I was saying, well, I think that we're going to need to go digital, and I think we're going to need to do this, and I think we're going to need to do this, and this, and this, and this, and this. And they were like, no, I don't see that happening, so on and so forth. Well, I tell you what, across, that's what everybody is doing, and here we are full circle. Yep. And now, in July, and this conversation was just in maybe, what, January? And now here we are, July. And it's all revisited. And they're like, you know what? I think we're going to have to approach this whole digital concept. And so I just think that is where we are. And but even just 10 years ago, that's where we were.
Yeah.
People weren't embracing it as much because, 10 years ago is when I was 6.
Yeah.
And so people weren't embracing it as much. But now because it is a, you know, you have to, or a must have, or a, it's just where we are.
Yeah.
And so it's not so bad. So girl, I'll tell you all day long, I'm with sincere. Look, listen, I'm gonna tell you right now, when the governor was talking about he was going to be on at 5:30 last week, you should have seen me rushing home. Cause I was like, what's he going to say? He's sending us back in the pandemic. Cause I don't mind. Like we're going back into quarantine. Cause I don't mind. Girl, I was so mad when he
John
was talking
can't
about
wait. He cannot wait. I said, you know, the governor doesn't have to tell you to stay home. You could just stay home.
Listen, well, for my job, he needs to tell
me,
and he needs to tell my job, okay? And so I was waiting for him to say it so that he could tell us to shut down, considering we closed, but can he tell us to come back home?
No.
And so
he
I'm
said, don't
like,
turn this car around. That's what he said.
Girl, listen, the fact that he was doing all that talking and didn't say nothing, I was like, you know what? I'm so mad at you, Mr. DeWine. Like, you need to just cut it out.
Oh my gosh. That made me laugh. That made me laugh. Real tears. Oh my gosh. All right.
You need to cut it out.
PBPL, just you've been listening to myself and my good friend Reagan talking. She didn't know that we were recording. And
girl,
I do that to everybody, so it's not just you. And I do that because it's my favorite part of watching podcast, listening to podcasts, is hearing the conversations that have nothing to do with the podcast. So,
oh my gosh.
But it's also good to me. I just love for our listeners to hear are just reality. These are our times. You know, if you're listening to this in the future, that today is July 28th, 2020. We're in a pandemic, COVID-19, and we don't know if our schools are going to open. We don't know if we're going to, we were already quarantined and shut down. We don't know if we're going to have to do it again. And so these are pretty much the discussions that are being had in our community right now. Conversations about equitable education for some students who may not have access to computers or Wi-Fi, or whose parents may have to go back to work and they don't have childcare. So there's just a lot going on. But I want to introduce you guys to one of my closest friends, Reagan Phillips. Reagan and I met in a program here in Lorain County, Ohio, called Leadership Lorain County. And we were blessed to be a part of a cohort that was extremely socially justice focused and minded. And so we, we challenged everybody. Okay. And almost to the point where I started like feeling bad for the people after we left, like, dang. Then it was like, ah, well, whatever.
But with grace.
It was with,
but with grace.
I would probably but say you grace. Had the most grace. The rest of us kind of were just like, we should probably stop talking now. We're going to get in trouble. And so I just wanted to, I'm going to introduce a little bit about her, and then I'm going to let her tell us a little bit about her relationship with her community. Reagan, if you live in Lorain County, you know Reagan Phillips. You know she is heavily involved in every aspect of our community. When I talk about our community, I'm specifically talking about the Black community. She's heavily invested. She's now on the board of Leadership Lorain County. She's done work with the Urban League. As you heard her talk, she's done work with the NAACP. She's highly involved with... I'm going to mess this up. I know the initials NCNW, which is the National Council of Negro Women. You did it. Yeah.
National Council of Negro Women. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And who her and my aunt have been like trying to get me to be a part of.
Please come on aboard. Come on.
But Reagan and I have had this conversation where Mr. Holloway has told me numerous times to sit down somewhere. So I'm trying to be obedient. she just does the most amazing things. And one of my personal, as a Black woman, one of the, my favorite things that she does, and we're going to talk about this a little bit in detail. She does every year is called Vision of Beauty. And that is for the young ladies in Lorain County, and the things that she teaches and models for them, would just blow your mind. And so I have a couple questions for Reagan, and they're the same questions I typically will ask everyone, except for I sometimes change one question. And so, which is, it's more of a, I always change question number three because it's more of a personal question that has to do with a conversation that myself and my guests have had outside of this podcast that I want to kind of bring in. But the first question I want to ask Reagan is, I just want you to tell me, talk to me about your love for our community.
So this goes back to, so a lot of things go back to how things work for me in my life. And so I worked for years corporately, and what I recognized in my corporate work is that a lot of my job focused around people's needs. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes I found myself, if someone needed gas money to get to work,
wait, I think I might have lost you.
Kids.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, I'm sorry, my phone
was okay.
Or if they needed diapers for their kids, then we was making sure they had that. Whatever the needs were, we was making sure their needs were being met. And so it seemed like, aside from being able to put people to work, we were also meeting so many other needs. And my heart was just breaking, and I was having such a passion for, what do we need to do to get people prepared for work and prepared for eliminating all of these challenges and barriers before they enter the workforce? Like, what do we need to do to not have to worry about people's concern for checking boxes? What do we have to do to eliminate their concern for not being able to pass a drug test? And so my job was hiring people. And so often, you know, they would get so far and then they still wouldn't be able to, they weren't hireable. And it was so many different things. And I experienced some health challenges on my own. And after those health challenges, I had to reinvent myself. And in that reinventing, I was like, you know, I'm just going to volunteer. I'm going to volunteer in my community. I'm going to volunteer throughout my entire community just to serve in every capacity that I can serve in, from reading programs for youth to, I mean, you name it. I was like, it's just all about service. So that I can understand where the needs are in my community and what we need to do to alleviate the issues that are happening in our community and get a better understanding of poverty and education issues or literacy issues or all of the things that are keeping us bound. And there's no better way to understand unless you are completely involved in service and you are side by side people on a daily basis to understand exactly what's happening with them. And so that is, and that's why it was only because on a just in my work on a daily basis, it was like, oh my gosh, like what is keeping people from coming to work, like showing up from one end of the block to the other end of the block, what's keeping people from showing up?
My second question, it really kind of leans into a lot of what you said, but talk to me about like currently the problems that you have begun to solve and continue to solve in our community with programs and initiatives. And your voice.
Well,
I mean, because you're everywhere.
will be here a long time, but I'm just gonna say right now we're focusing on voting. Just gonna
Yeah,
focus
because
on
what's
vote,
going on
vote,
with the voting right
vote,
now?
vote, vote,
In
vote,
Ohio,
vote.
what's going on?
Well, the main thing is vote, and the most important thing is that we are trying to pass a Senate, excuse me, a Senate bill to get voting to be by mail. And so that's the most important thing right now. And we're going to stick to that and that alone, because anything other than that, we would be here all night.
And so, with the voting by mail, tell me why that's important right now.
I think that it's most important because we're in the middle of a pandemic. We know that we can't have people go to the polls at this particular time. And so this particular bill is encouraging our legislators to allow everyone to be able to cast their votes by mail. So that's where we
If
are.
it's set for the health and safety
For
of our
health and
community.
safety of our community.
Tell me, okay, because you guys, I alluded to this in the beginning, and I have not actually been able to make this event that people rave about. But tell me about your Vision of Beauty Initiative program. I don't want to classify it for you, but it to me it just
You're going out. I'm coming to you.
Oh, okay. Can you hear me?
Me check
Can you
my
hear me now?
Wi-Fi. Let me. I don't know what. Okay. All right. Well, my.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Now I can.
Okay.
Okay.
I
Now
was like, I'm gonna wait a second.
I
It's all good. I have editing capabilities. I'm not a great editor, so we'll see how this goes. But just can you tell our listeners what that is and what was your driving force behind it, and what have you seen from doing that?
In regard to,
Vision of Beauty. I'm sorry. I might have cut out when I said
okay.
that part.
So, the Vision of Beauty Cotillion is a 8 months community service as well as workshops that are designed to provide young ladies with different workshops that provide them with anything from, because you were a workshop presenter. So anything from money management or budgeting and financing to college readiness to, there's several different topics over the course of the 6 month period to dating and relationships, domestic violence information, and not so much domestic violence for the young ladies, but just what they need to know for dating and relationship and teen dating. And oftentimes we don't think about what their choices should look like or how they should choose or what's happening in teen relationships. But a lot of violent issues start in teen relationships. And so we try to cover topics that are relevant to teens, but also that will help them as they grow. And so we cover these topics over a 6 month period, over an 8 month period, along with community service projects. So they serve as well as learn. And then they culminate the event with a cotillion. So they also learn to waltz. But the thing that's most important that during that this whole time frame is that they're learning time management. They're learning what it means to keep a schedule and effective communication. And so there's all these little lessons that are built into what it means to still lead themselves, be empowered, be self-empowered, all of the things as they learn and grow, and civic responsibility. Our organization is a national organization, so they attend our Ohio State Coalition. They're introduced to other state leaders, they're introduced to state senators, they're introduced. So it's so vast and rich in all of the things that they learn during this period that they're leading up to their culminating event. They learn to waltz the night of the event. They waltz with their dads. They do a dance with their escorts. So the experience and the night of the event is such a amazing experience. And what people don't understand about dance and the art of dance and what it does in teaching for youth altogether is an experience within itself. So overall, this entire experience, this year we had a family who had an elder with them that was 90, 91. And the mother of the debutante was like, "My dad is 91 years old, and he has never experienced anything like this in his life." And so it's amazing. It's just amazing. It's not just an experience for the debutante, but it is a family. Our mission for NCNW is that our programs are family enrichment experiences family enrichment programming, and the Cotillion is truly a family enrichment experience. What it does, not just for our debutante, but for their entire family, is an amazing experience.
I think it's just, I've seen the pictures and I'm so sad, but I'm totally gearing up for next year. Because it's just been amazing to see, even watch and to be a part and to do the workshop and to meet the young ladies and their moms, because their moms were there. So it was a really good experience for me, and I love how I see your passion in that whenever you talk about it, whenever you're given the opportunity to speak about it or speak about your Debs in general. It's just, I just love it. So the next thing I'm going to switch to is when Reagan and I met, was in Leadership Lorain County, and I was in year two as a pregnancy center director. And I had just learned some information about abortion rates in the Black community. And I was literally telling anybody I could tell, because it was new news for me, and I just assumed it was news for everybody. And so we were in a session, and I think we had a break, and I don't even know how it came up, but I remember asking Reagan, had she heard about this, and this situation? And Reagan then turned to me and told me a story about a young lady that she knew that received help through our local Planned Parenthood. And I want a disclaimer, y'all, I didn't even know we had a local Planned Parenthood. Mm. So she told me a story, and I just want to come back to, and Reagan and I have talked about this so many times over the course of the period. I've really thanked her for sharing this with me. Why, when I told you about the abortion rates in the Black community, did you feel like it was important that you share that story with me?
Because so often I feel like people get so caught up in the abortion rates, and I don't want this to come across in a way that is not proper, okay? So people get so caught up in their stance for abortion that they don't understand what Planned Parenthood does, okay? And so I was on this was community service work. So I was on a initiative that we had come together, and every quarter we would do a program for the community. And whatever funds that we would make, we would give back to the community. So we would vote on who our funds would go towards. Like, they would have to, each of our organizations would have to put in for, write up, you know, who our funds should go towards. And this particular time, our funds went towards Planned Parenthood. And it was because the young lady was an African-American young lady who had Marfan syndrome. It's Marfan syndrome. And it's a genetic disorder that if you're really tall and you're really slender, and your hands and your legs and your fingers are, and I may not be given the most clinical description of the term, but she had Marfan syndrome. And so she would get her treatment through Planned Parenthood. And so my purpose of sharing this with you at the time was, people have their assumptions, their thoughts, their ideas of what Planned Parenthood does, but they have no idea of the additional services that are offered through Planned Parenthood. And this young lady needed her treatments, and she received them through Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, and I think, oh, go ahead. No, I didn't mean to cut you off.
And I think that it's so important that people know that there are so many other service offerings that are provided through Planned Parenthood. And it's not just, you know, what we hear of in the media.
Yeah, well, I always also say, you know, the thing here, and this is really for my listeners to understand. If this conversation that I'm having with Reagan right now is triggering something in you, and in your body, you're screaming, you know, about Planned Parenthood, then I don't believe you fully understand the platform of Pro Black, Pro Life. The platform is the ability to be able to go to people in your community and have this conversation that we're having right now. Mm-hmm. You know, that Reagan and I, you know, I can talk to Reagan about this, and it doesn't be her belief and views are not changed by my belief and views. But our both of mm-hmm. our goal is to support and uplift our community. And to put our community in a place where we can wrap our arms around it fully. And so in order to do that, we need a full understanding of the things that are happening in our community and things that are affecting our community.
For sure.
And we can't do that without having these conversations. So thank you for sharing that. The next question is just a completely opinion question. And I ask this question of everybody. Politics aside, personal identifiers aside, what do you hear as the message from the pro-life community is to our community, meaning the Black community?
Well, politics aside, we know the definition for pro-life is, you know, is opposing abortion. So I'm open, and I'm always respectful of what anyone specifically says what their opinion is of that. So, but what I understand the definition of pro-life to be is that. Mm. That's what I understand the definition to be.
Tell me what's next for you in your advocacy for the youth in our community. Or shoot, it doesn't even have to be the youth. It could be anybody.
So, you know, I am very different in regard to my ideas and thoughts regarding I believe that our youth are brilliant. I love their minds. I love, you know, how they think. And so I'm a strong believer of self-advocacy. I think that it's best that we empower individuals to effectively communicate their own interest. And so it's always my goal to create leaders, not followers. So I always, always encourage, you know, one of the things that I tell the young ladies in my group all the time, and they'll hear me say this 1,000 times over, is that no is a complete sentence. Mm-hmm. They need to say it without apology. And if they don't understand how to say it, they need to say it and then smile. Right. No and smile. And they'll say, but I don't understand, Ms. Reagan. What do I need to... Honey, say no and smile and without explanation. Okay? So I am a strong believer of self-empowerment and self... And I say that because I really believe in confidence keepers. And if they are confident enough, they will make the right decisions that they need to make for themselves. Yeah.
For themselves. Absolutely. I mean, we as adults, I mean, that No is a complete sentence. That's I mean, it. You know me. You know I have yeah. no problem.
Girl, yes.
No problem. Saying no. My kids say None. I like it. They're like, I feel like you like saying no. I'm like, sometimes because saying no, I don't have to go back. If I say no, yeah. I could always come back and say, you know, did you still want me to do, or did you still need me if after a while I thought about it? But if I say yes, going back and saying no, you know, that's not good. Mm-hmm. So if I say no off the rip and then think about it.
Yeah, I'm good.
I usually have no problem
at all saying no.
My no stands. That's what I said. My no means no. My yes means yes. So that was one mm-hmm. of my, I remember when I used to teach and I used to tell, you know, my other teachers, when we talked about classroom management, I'm like, let your no be a no and your yes be a yes. Like, don't be wishy-washy.
Be consistent. Always be consistent.
If you said no yesterday to some, say no again today. That's easy to me.
Say no again today. Absolutely. And I think that it's important because what our youth need to know is they have a right to be able to stand on mm-hmm. what their beliefs yep. are. And so what your beliefs are, and you don't have to, you can recognize that there are black and white areas. They don't have to be yep. gray. You can be very consistent in whatever your beliefs are. You don't have to follow the status quo. Honey, be a leader, don't be a follower. You have the ability within you. They are so brilliant. And what I recognize and what I see in so many of, and especially, and I see this a whole lot with a lot of the young ladies that come through our programming, is that they're so strong mm-hmm. and they have the ability to be able to make decisions that they want to make. And so many of them stand alone in what they want to do. I mean, they and this is, I have to share this. So I have a young lady that I was doing some volunteering and some service projects for the community. And I had a young lady that was a part of the service projects when she was in she may have been 6th or 7th grade. And so she started following my page, my Facebook page. And every year she would say, can I join the program now? And I would say, oh, baby, I'm so sorry, but you have to be a senior. And so every year she would say, can I join the program now? I'm so sorry, baby, but you have to be a senior. You have to be a senior. And every year she would, when she was a senior, she was like, Miss Reagan, I'm a senior. Can I join your program now? Yep, baby, you sure can. And I'm going to tell you something. She is such a leader and she is so strong in who she is and such a confidence keeper and just knows what she wants. She doesn't need anyone to validate her. She doesn't need to follow the crowd. She rolls at the beat of her own drum. And it is something about the spirit of people who just know who they are, is confident in who they are, and they don't have to be validated.
Yeah.
That can just, it's easy to say no, because you don't need nobody's validation. Right.
And also, you know, once you figure out who you are and what you stand for, everything else just becomes a distraction. And so easy to say that one's not mine. That one's not mine.
Yeah.
This is mine.
That's it.
Oh my gosh. Reagan, as always, it's so much fun talking to you. And you and I both know that Reagan and I get on the phone and I will be calling her just to ask her like a 2 second question about something. And 45 and we'll minutes be on later. The phone forever.
45
I still
later.
Haven't even asked the question that I want to ask her.
Because you'll get on the phone and ask the question, and then we'll be like, here, there.
I'm the worst. Oh my gosh. I keep people, and I feel so bad. Because I, you know, I'm trying to get in the habit of when I think of someone, instead of saying, hey, I got to call them and check them, to actually like stop what I'm doing and call them. But then I realize I'm taking like an hour out of their day because I get on there and I won't shut up.
I'm the same way. Mm-mm. I'm like, I gotta do it when I'm thinking about it. Just do it right now. I'm the same. I feel
well,
you.
Girl, I love you so much, and I just mm-mm. thank you for taking mm-mm. your time you, out babe. To have this conversation with me. Like I said, I think it's really important. The whole idea of this podcast is to give good, be a good example of what I'm talking about. And you were the first person I thought of. And so aww, I appreciate you texting me and saying that you were ready, that you were done with your schoolwork.
Girl, because these classes are driving me nuts.
So I appreciate you so much. And I will see you in a couple of weeks.
Absolutely. But you can always count on me being a woman of my yep. word. I was like, I didn't forget you. You trust and believe. I was like, look, this is the timing. I got you. So absolutely. Thank you.
Thank
honey.
You. And I will talk soon.
All right, absolutely. Well, good night.